we're back. Hello again from What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London, and with this being our 100th episode, where are my two centurion podcasters? Firstly, a man that's hit over 100 statistical runs, and never once has he called for a quick single. Yes, patient and elegant in his factual demeanour, it's our very own Sam Sankey.
Hello, good morning.
And also, he's racked up that many ideas, he's constantly working at boiling point. With a podcasting temperature reading 100 Celsius, it's Dennis Waywell!
All right.
Well, it's nice to be back, lads. I mean, the last time I saw you, Sam, we were stalking the bungalow at 6:30 a.m. in Thelwall.
We were. We were indeed, yeah. And there was no bins out, were there? No bins to have a look at.
No. Oh, looked immaculate. Now, Dennis, I was going to ask you where you were, but I thought about this, because you're out in your camper van every time we record now, you've sort of become our Keith Chegwin of the podcast. If you remember back to Swap Shop, Keith was always somewhere on location, and it tended to be actually wherever the rugby league cameras were, because the BBC would double up with the production crew. So wherever the rugby league was, Cheggers tended to be. So rather than telling us exactly where you are, I think we'll do a little competition for the listeners. They can email in, and the one that's closest is going to win a Watt Bevan engraved 9-carat gold-plated carriage clock. It's resilient to a water depth of 28 centimetres, and it takes 3 AAA batteries, although batteries won't be included in the competition. So give us some pointers where you are.
Okay, well, firstly, I'm like the opposite of Cheggers, because I'm the furthest away you could be from the BBC cameras. So there's a good start.
Excellent.
Thinking about that. I'm near a firing range. And the firing range is actually closed at the moment for July. So everybody's on holiday. And I'm near the sea. So they're the clues so far in the podcast. Might give some more out later on as we go along.
And a big field behind you by the looks of things there. Nice cornfield, is it? Is that the farming ground
well,
there?
Well, actually, that is the firing range just over the gate. I'm using the gate as an antenna because just so the podcast audience know, I have walked half a mile this morning to try and get a signal of some sorts halfway up the hill. And yes, it is.
And you've got a big head, so you're sort of sniper's dream in that position there, aren't you?
I am. Really. Especially with my nose. It's like a red beacon. Target number 3. Over there, yeah.
Well, you're going to have to sort of carry me, boys, today. Because I thought I was jet-lagged because I felt really slow and laborious and confused. And then I realised it was just the fact I've been watching Toby King play for Huddersfield. So. Okay, right. We've got 4 games to review, boys. Now, what I want to try and do... Yep, 4 games. Now, what we're going to try and do here is stay within the time frame continuum. All right. I don't want you, Dennis, going, "Oh, I didn't watch that one. I can't remember that one." And Sam going,
"Oh, with a caveat, with hindsight, I realise that he's actually quite a good player."
So to do that, to get around it, what I've actually done is I've actually programmed the system tonight. And anyone gets outside the time frame continuum, this alarm will sound.
Warning, you have broken the time frame continuum. All the expense spared. You know, four weeks on holiday, and that's the only creative thing you've come up with.
Okay, round 14. Hull at home. It was on Sky. The team was Widdop, Thulis, Wrench, Metautier, Ashton, Ratchford Williams, Mulhern, Daryl Clark, Cooper, Curry Holmes and Davis at 13. Interchange was Philbin, Walker, James Harrison made his debut and Thomas McKayley. Final score, Wire 4, Hull 0. Before we review, here's the highlights. Well, The 4 points coming from Ratchford's boot in over 5,000 games of Super League. This was only the second match where a try hadn't been scored. Sam, have you got any energy? Have you had a coffee, a couple of sugars in it to sort of review this game and get us on the right track?
Yeah, I've got a couple of key statistics for you.
Oh my God.
Apparently, there were two clean breaks in the game.
Ooh.
Apparently.
Is that to the bar?
Josh Hewlett and Gareth Widdop. Apparently, they were the only two clean breaks in the game. And you would have expected, given that nobody even came remotely near scoring a try, there'd not be many missed tackles, wouldn't you? But, 28 missed tackles from Warrington, including 8 from Peter Matautia. God, it was boring.
This is what Powell said. Powell said, both teams looked nervous. The crowd were nervous. I was nervous. But we just needed to come out on the other side. We got there, and defensively, I thought we worked so hard. It was almost like a final with the tension. And to win the game releases a big pressure valve. We should be able to relax a bit more now, chill out a little bit, and start to play the way we want to play. Seemed like a final to you, Dennis?
I know what he means by that, but I think it's a bit of a statement of about our creativity as well. And I mean, the defence was certainly shored up. I had a funny feeling that Steve Price was back for the weekend or something, because that was the only good thing that Steve Price has ever done, wasn't it? Yeah, he did have a good defence. Are you agreeing with me, Rob?
Well, I'm just thinking, you've mentioned Steve Price twice there, so I'm hoping that firing range comes back into action any second. You take a couple in your shoulder or something.
Well, I am a purist. I do like one of these sort of games where it's a bit of an arm wrestle, but at the same time, I think to myself, are these two teams just shit?
The shittest game I ever saw was at Warrington. I can't remember what the score was now, but it was against Hull. I think it was like 4-2.
And 3-2, Greg Mackey drop goal on Saturday.
It was Clive Tilsley. It was at the time when ITV were doing a little bit of Granada were doing a few broadcasts. And I remember Brian Smith afterwards saying it was the best game of rugby league he'd seen in this country. And it was at the time when the NRL was really boring. It was all defensive. Like, you fall asleep watching NRL. How things have changed. But this didn't have the same feel.
With this whole game, it was almost like, is this the change? You know, they'd locked the gates, the defence was back on. You know, all right, we didn't really create much, but I just thought, this could be the turning point.
I've written down some notes because clearly it was, you know, nearly a month ago now. So here are my notes. I've written, McKayley made good post-contact metres and offloaded well. We agree with that? Looking quite promising.
Yeah.
Quite promising.
It was his first game, wasn't it?
Yeah. Harrison looked promising. Williams was shite. I wrote down that. Don't remember what he did, but I've written it. It took me 18 minutes and 34 seconds to realise Ben Curry was on the field.
Is this going to be a new stat? The time when we realise Ben Curry's still on the field. Bloody hell.
Holmes seems to have caught Matautiaitis and has started running sideways. I wrote that down. And of course, Joe Philbin suffered an ACL injury. He's expected to be out for 6 to 9 months.
That's a shame.
I read an interesting article on ACL injuries, because they've not done that much into them, but there's a report in the US about when ACL injuries are done. And you know, 95% of ACL injuries happen in the first 15 minutes of contact sport. And Philbin's went pop at the start. So interesting, isn't it? It's just like almost when you warm up or you slow down a bit, it doesn't affect you the same way. Did you go, Sam? Did you actually go to this game?
No, I didn't go to this one.
Can we start having a little count on how much savings Sam's made from not going to this shit?
Oh, it's huge.
It's starting to,
huge.
I know.
How much is it to go and watch Warrington, Sam?
It's not the going to watch Warrington that's all the savings, the money. It's the going out at 6, having a bit of tea, then going to the game, having a few pints, and then thinking, should we stay out and stay? I'm saving myself £50 a match.
Two bottles of wine he missed out there with his tea. Yeah.
And I've cut down on my drinking. And
when we went for a walk when we went for a walk at 6:30, mate, I did notice you had a good spring in your step. That's clearly from not watching more into. Because last time I went out, you were a bit slouchy, you know, scuffing your feet along the ground. But definitely, it's real. Keep it up, Sam. Keep it up. So have we got anything else to add on Hull before we move on down through this time frame continuum? What do you reckon?
Well, what do we think of Hull? What do we think of Hull?
They are shit.
I did say in our last podcast, didn't I, that Warrington and Hull are the two biggest underachievers in Super League. And they start every year, Hull start quite good and gradually fade away, and people say, oh, they've had a few injuries. They have a few injuries every year by the sounds of it.
Well done, Sam. Can I just say that's a really good plug for the last podcast, which is bound to be a bit better than this shit, because we've got four games to bloody troll through. I've got my belly out.
How's your COVID, Dennis? You've had a bit of COVID. Have you lost a bit of weight because of that? Lost half a stone.
Yeah, that's the way. But look at this. Look at this out here. Look at that. That's where Daryl needs to come in it. I'm just showing for the podcast, because this is a podcast and you can't see. But if Daryl brought these players to this firing range, that'd be a good sort of thing, you know, to practice, wouldn't it? Avoiding the snipers. I've got some walkers coming past. Better behave.
Do you want to get them on the podcast? Do you want to see if they want to say hello to us? No.
Oh, when they come past.
It's a very military haircut he's had.
Isn't it?
I got up out the van this morning and then that was it, wasn't it? I had a coffee and then I just came running up this hill at Kate Bush.
Right. In the week that followed, Warrington broke the surprising news of a swap loan deal. Out of form, overpaid Toby King would head immediately to Huddersfield, with young, in-form England centre Jake Wardle making his way from the Giants to Wire. Now, I didn't know much about him, Sam. I reached out to Matthew at the Warrington Guardian. He was a big fan. You sort of said to me he's a bit up and down. I don't want to move forward in the time frame continuum here, but it seemed a relatively good swap for us, I thought.
Yeah, completely a good swap. I've always liked Toby King, but always felt he was a bit overrated. For me, he's a good average centre. Someone who you don't mind having your team, but we've been paying outstanding money for him. So if you pay outstanding money, you want outstanding performances, and we just don't get that. So it could work for everyone. Give Toby King a fresh start, bring Jake Wardle in, and we get a bit of energy in life. And it could work out very well for everyone, this.
Powell said on the swap deal, we are looking to build a really exciting outside back division with youth and pace. Jake fits that bill perfectly alongside the quality outside backs coming through at the club. Does that mean, Sam, that he's possibly going to stay? I mean, are there any rumours to sort of substantiate that he will stay next year?
The rumour before this came out of the blue, the rumour was he was off to Wigan next year. But that's only rumour, nothing's been announced.
Whichever way you cut it, you got a highly paid player. Clearly this is all bullshit. He's obviously not getting on with him for whatever reason. Whether Powell refuses to play the five plays and a kick to Toby King, and that's put his nose out of joint. But your highest paid player, he's obviously not happy, and that's the reason why he's gone. So I can't see him coming back.
I believe the relationship between Powell and King broke down a little over the trip to Catalans when King turned up without his passport. Powell basically said, that's unprofessional. Put your ideas up, and they've not been seeing eye to eye.
Who's checking that? Can you really rely on a young rugby league player who runs at brick walls to remember his passport?
We should be able to. That's not like double check that you've got the visa and this and that and the other. It's when you turn up to an airport, when he goes on holiday, I bet he doesn't forget his passport.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm sorry, but when I've done work trips before and we've been away on conferences, passports, HR put them in the safe the night before. They're all accounted for and they go in the safe.
Well, I'm not giving away my ID. I wouldn't be putting it in a safe.
Oh,
I took mine in my underpants.
My biggest worry is that King hasn't really set the world on fire since going to Huddersfield, has he? I know he caught one at the Magic Weekend, but then I think he let a try in. I didn't see him let the try in, but Twitter was all about him letting a try in. And then he had an appalling attempt at a pass to his winger. He had his winger in space just to score in the corner. And he threw the ball too late and the winger tapped it down. I just worry that Huddersfield aren't getting much for their buck at the moment and I'll want Wardle back.
I suppose King does fit in what it appears Watson is building there in terms of strength and size. We've all thought he's not quite quick enough to be a top centre, but he does fit in terms of strength and size. So, you know, it's not dead. But whether they'd pay the money is another matter.
Mm. They've got the same agent, haven't they? That was kind of.
I don't know. Is that where it's come from? Is that
developed? They were both a bit fed up, so the agent just put it out there to both CEOs, and the swap was done. It wasn't sort of any masterstroke by either club. It's an agent that's covering both Wardle and King. Mm. So, which might make things easier if they are going to swap. That, you know, you're not having to deal with more than one agent. So possibly, it could all come about. And as Josh Charnley finally fucked off to Lee, Warrington pounds for talented 18-year-old loose forward Matty Nicholson, pinched from under the disgruntled nose of Wigan coach Matt Peat. And apparently, the new NRL outfit based up on Queensland's Moreton Bay, the Dolphins were also showing interest in the young forward. Haven't really seen much of him yet, Sam, and we'll probably get onto the game in a second, but... you know, as much as Wigan let him go, it seems Wigan do have an abundance of forwards coming through, having watched them, you know, put Hull to the sword last night.
Yeah. What I'm excited about here, or delighted about, however you want to phrase it, is his age. You know, we've picked up some good players from Wigan in the past. And one of our good long stalwarts, if you like, would be Jack Hughes, although I think he might have come via Huddersfield. But all of them have been, the old guys down at the Workingmen's Club used to say, well, if Wigan are letting him go, he's obviously not good enough. But I don't think that's the case in this instance. The lad's 18.
You've never been to a working man's club. Look at yourself. Oh, yeah. Bloody,
Alliance Boxworks. Greenhouse, Tetley's, The Grange, you know.
What grain have you got in your hand there, Dennis? You've got Dennis has got some kind of grain. Maybe another clue here for the listener. What kind of grain's that in your hand?
This is a wheat grain, a variety of a late starter. So it's quite green. So they can afford a late start in this part of the world. So think of where the sun sets and this, that, and the other.
WWBBSP@gmail.com. Write in with where you think Dennis is for that wonderful 9-carat plated gold carriage clock. Okay, let's move on to the Salford game, round 15. I've got in big bold letters here on the top of my page. Sam went to the game.
Oh, this is going to affect the bank.
The team was Widdop, Minikin, Wrench, Wardle, Thulis, Metautier, Ratchford, Mulhern, Daryl Clark, Cooper, Curry Holmes and Matt Davis at 13. Interchange bench was Bullock, Walker, Harrison and McKaylee. There were tries for the wire from Clark, Ratchford, Widdop and Thulis, Ratchford kicking and converting 4 goals. With 12 minutes to go, Warrington enjoyed a 16-point lead, but then conceded a staggering 24 unanswered points to leave a final score of Warrington 24, Salford 32. Over to you, Mr. Sankey.
What a bag of shit.
Firstly, how much money did you spend up front before you get into it? I mean, let's just so we can get a feel for how much you've been affected by this. So did you have your dinner out right before the match?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. And then what about drinks with dinner?
I was on cider. Yeah, I was on cider. Ooh. It was quite a warm day.
Are you in cider territory, Dennis? Would the sort of local pint be cider there?
No, I think it would be sort of a salty sort of IPA. How's that?
Yeah. I see where you're
going. So go on
with
then, Sam. Yeah. So go on, Sam. Right. Get into the match.
We were outplayed in the first 15 to 20 minutes. It took us a long time to get any territory in the Salford half. And then we got a bit of a break. We got a bit of a lucky break. And then an individual try from Daryl Clark. And we're suddenly in the game. And then they got a sin binning. We took the lead. Everything seemed to be with us. We scored some great tries, albeit against 12 men.
No.
And the whole stadium was up.
What, all four of you?
Yeah, all four of us. Six of us, I think it was. The whole stadium was up after being so quiet early in the game.
Anticipation after playing Hull.
And then to actually capitulate the moment Salford came back. And Salford played some outstanding rugby, but brought on by our own fragile psyche, I guess.
Mm-hmm. What about the news? I mean, I've just noticed the team here. I've just read out Minikin. I mean, did he offer? I mean, he's come and gone, hasn't he? That was his game, and he's since gone.
Yeah, wasn't too impressed with him. But I wouldn't single him out as a problem. Wardle showed some good touches and some pace. One break early in the second half, in particular, where God, the rest of the team could learn from this. He realised he was out on his own, and he slowed up.
Oh my goodness!
For the
Don't tell me actually he drawed a fullback and passed a ball.
Yeah.
Wow.
He slowed up looking for support rather than just going head down and
was the support there?
Blind alley.
Just to clarify, was the support there?
Eventually.
Oh, okay.
Eventually.
Not used to the pace.
Can we really win a game with our halfbacks being Metautier and Ratchford? I mean,
I'm getting. More and more frustrated with Metautier at halfback.
Warning, you have broken the time frame continuum.
Did you get ahead of the timeline there, Sam, for a second?
No, just said, can we win a game with Metautier being one of our halfbacks?
Right. I thought that wasn't just that one game then. I mean, what did you think, Dennis? I thought he was stepping into further afield down the path.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, I get it now. Oh, I understand how this works now. Got you.
Yeah, keep within the time, Luke, please. Keep within the time. Right. I mean, Ratchford has just signed a 2-year deal. And they see his future. Did Daryl Powell mention something about his future in the halves?
Yeah. That would be playing alongside George Williams, though, wouldn't it?
Okay. Well, there you have it. I didn't go. I was actually in the UK. I was in Warrington that afternoon. I went for a slightly, I would say, disappointing lunch at the Little Manor, Sam. I think the menu has gone down a little bit in comparison to when I visited 3 years ago. And then went for a lovely vegan pizza in Bramhall in the evening.
Isn't that just cheese and tomato?
Thought at one second I'd actually...
No, Dennis, it's just tomato.
I thought at one point I actually bumped into Robert Elston, but it wasn't.
Oh, my God. Jesus, he wouldn't be sat anywhere. He'd be loading it up with gold-plated carriage clocks and knives and forks.
That's a name from the past time continuum.
Yes.
What was that, Sam? What was that word you said then? What was the...
That was
could you say the Josh Thewlis time continuum, please?
The Josh Thewlis time continuum.
Oh, it's good, isn't it?
In the lead up to the Magic Weekend, Ellis Longstaff, even though having just scored a hat trick for Warrington Reserves against London Broncos, was surprisingly sent to Hull FC on a 3-week loan deal. He started very well. He was pumping the shirt, scored a couple of tries for Hull, all went tits up the following week. But what do we make of this? Were we surprised that it wasn't Ben Curry that didn't go on loan rather than Ellis Longstaff? It just seemed a bit peculiar. Are we shorter players in Super League?
Yeah, I think there must be something going on. But I wonder whether that, you know, we've brought in that many people over the last sort of like few weeks that we've got to try and make room salary wise. So offloading some of these fringe players is probably a strategy to accommodate that.
Oh, this is financial.
Yeah. But, I mean, looking at Ellis Longstaff, I've always liked him since I was stood at that St. Helens match, and he stood his ground and, like, you know, he's a good tackler. But I think he's not quite ready. And now he must feel like he's got his nose pushed out with bringing that Matty Nicholson in. So it's a tough one, that one, isn't it? Because he's obviously a good un, but he needs time, and he might have had his nose pushed out.
Not quite moved on, Sam. At the start of the year, I said I was going to put a picture up, a poster on a wall of Ellis Longstaff, but it doesn't seem to have sort of come to fruition yet in terms of developing on what he had last year.
I've heard that we have offered him a new deal, but it's not the deal he wants. And we seem to be having a bit of a difference of opinion about where he is at the moment.
Okay, on to the Magic Weekend. Round 16, Catalans. The team was Widdop, Thulis, Metautier, Wardle, Ashton, Ratchford, Williams, Mulhern, Darrell Clark, Harrison, Curry, our new signing Nicholson, and Jason Clark came in at 13. Interchange bench was Olivier Holmes, Bullock, Dean, and Tom McKayley. I notice they're not calling him Thomas McKayley at Warrington, but I think that's because they can't fit it on the graphic.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I think that that's why they've taken the ass out of it. Here's the highlights.
Yeah, the opportunity there for Ashton. And Ashton with a chance here. And Matty Ashton, he's got support as well. Oh, with a slip to the last minute. Gets up, he was hurt when he went down, but he scored the try. What a start for Warrington. I only win with your mother cuts his dirty. Whitley, that's how close he is to the line. Metautier's in there to make the tackle. Lange, has he gone straight from dummy half? And Sammy Sony Lange thinks he scored there for Catalan. Williams. Oh, Romano's made an error. Ball kicked forward. And as Wardle scored, that may well be a try for Jake Wardle. Yeah, yeah. I had to crucify some brother today. Ratchford now for Ben Curry. Curry across the field, offloads. There might be a gap here. There might be a chance. And a try on debut for Matty Nicholson. Would you believe it? Williams, little kick forward, he'll chase it on, and it was knocked on, and it's picked up by Ratchford, and Ratchford will score, and Stephen Ratchford with a big try for Warrington just before half-time. Pierced with a long kick out, knocked back by Lange, picked up by Conor Wrench. Now then, has Conor Wrench got the speed? He has, the Costa can't catch him, no one will catch him. Goes the distance. Conor Wrench scores the try. Here's Mitchell Pearce. Now then, Tompkins sensing an opportunity, and Sam Tompkins takes the opportunity. What you got to say? So come on and say yeah. McKayley, who's been exceptional, so has Ratchford. Brilliant offload to Clark. What a try! Williams goes under the post, try of the game, will win the game. George Williams finishes it. McKayley started it.
Final score, Catalan reserves 10, Warrington 36. Oh, sorry.
Catalan 10,
Warrington 36. There was tries for Widdop, Wardle, Nicholson, Ratchford, Thulis and Williams. Kicks, Ratchford 6 from 7 attempts. And also, we should also point out a beautiful try from Conor Wrench, who didn't actually play.
Yeah.
According to...
It was. I think his name was mentioned more there than some of the players on the pitch for the rest of the 79 minutes.
Well, I enjoyed this. I was down in a beautiful cottage with Alan London down on Stow-on-the-Wold. And even though Alan was quite pessimistic at the start of the game, I think we sort of won him round. We did
He looked very hot on the little video you sent to us.
He was worried about the barbecue. We were having a barbecue. I'd gone out and bought about 12 kilos of charcoal, only to discover that the Weber was gas. So...
Is this a result of when you bought one of those little like instant barbecues and burnt the grass at the cottage you were staying a few years ago? Is that what it is?
I am a bit of a pyromaniac, I have to say. I do like a fire. I do. Apart from the fucking agent, don't like him. A few of my notes here. McKayley scattered forwards before offloading, which contributed to 3 tries. Harrison was excellent and went looking for work. Nicholson seems a great signing at the young age of 18. Did we look better with Dean in the halves than Ratchford? That was one of my questions to you two. Williams kicking was poor again. And Ashton has bags of pace, but he's got absolutely no idea how to draw a man.
I think you've summed a lot up in that last line.
Yeah. There's some talking points here, isn't there? I mean, what is becoming abundant obvious to me is that the issue has now moved from a forward issue, you know, problem of not making, you know, enough meters and forwards sort of like creating the space for the halfbacks. And now the halfbacks are just shit. Now, I'm not suggesting that it's actually individuals, but certainly putting these different pairings together isn't working for Darryl Powell. George Williams isn't the player he was playing for Canberra. Let's be absolutely clear about that.
Hang on. No, Williams, it was against a much weakened Dragons team, but Williams had a super game in terms of his impact on the play. I do accept his kicking could be better. I do understand. I agree with that.
Yes.
But his game with ball in hand, he was always a threat at the line.
Yeah, but this is a marquee player, Sam. This is you can't sort of just say, he's good with ball in hand and he can't kick. I mean, I'm sure someone in the NRL, a halfback there, like, you know, fucking farts and then he gets bloody, you know, a week off.
I'm struggling to, you know, the rugby league I've watched over the last few weeks, I've sort of been watching the kickers. I'm struggling to see a poorer kicker than Williams in any of the teams. It's just lackadaisical in the way that he kicks the ball. And Ratchford doesn't seem to offer much more. I'm with Sam. I think he's looking a lot more active. You know, he's because all of a sudden now he's got a pack that's going forward. He's got a bit more room, hasn't he, to move around?
Yeah.
You know, I thought Harrison was superb. There was talk of him being, you know, this what's the lad over at Saints, the forward at Saints.
Wormsley.
Sort of Wormsley. And there were signs of him looking a bit Wormsley-ish. He went looking for the ball. And I don't want to press the time frame continuum, but Bullock is running strongly.
Warning, you have broken the time frame continuum.
And McKayley was an absolute joy. You know, two of the tries came from offloads. And the third try that McKayley contributed to was just a quick play of the ball. He scattered a few, got up. I did feel sorry for Benjamin Julian. It seemed to be him he was picking on.
McKayley is my new favourite player, by the way. I don't want to put a poster up, but I want to invite him round for a barbecue and put a massive steak on for him. I think that's what I want to do. Because he's coming and he has changed the way we're moving forward. It always feels like that's our opportunity when he's on the pitch. And that means you've got a good prop there at that time. So let's just hope he doesn't slip into the culture of English rugby league next year and then fucking disappear.
Do we need to move him out of the bungalow? Is it just a matter of time before the curse strikes? Is he in there? Oh, yes, we walk past.
Oh. I've got news there. The sponsored car's not been about for a couple of weeks. It's a different car now, so he might not be there.
Have a look through the bins, Sam. Go and have a look through the bins.
We need to go and have a look through the bins. What would be in his bin? Be like a load of the big empty, well, just bones from big animals that, you know, he's been chomping down on. Because he's a big lad, isn't he? He must be eating some meat. He's not vegan.
He's a big lad. Very big lad. So all in all, it was a good win. Although I did, from about the 50-minute mark, fall asleep for about
second
20
half,
minutes.
Yeah.
Really went
second
off the boil.
Second half was shite, apart from that super try at the end.
Yeah. I do like that referee. I know I've mentioned it before, but I do think he imposes himself.
He gets a bit
himself,
of a thing for him.
Mm. Well, he just doesn't seem to impose himself on the game like a few of the other twats. I mean, referees. And I just think, yeah, I just thought he had another good game. I quite liked, and I know Dennis isn't going to like this. Are you sitting down, Dennis?
Yes.
I quite like Jason Clark's contribution.
Oh.
Oh, he's fallen. He's fallen against the gate.
Gosh.
I think he's looking to shoot himself. Shit.
This gate's open, I just realised.
I think you're in that field, you can be shot. You're in the field now. Watch out for mines.
Hey! Actually, yeah, you're not supposed to pick anything up and you're not allowed to use metal detectors here.
Are you with me, Sam? Did you think Jason Clark looked pretty... he knows what to do. All of a sudden, he's behind a bigger pack, so you can sort of allow for Jason Clark.
Yeah, there's been no doubt about...
This podcast has gone downhill.
No, there's no doubt about the quality he brings. The discussion over 18 months is he too old and too slow now? It's not about knowing what to do. He clearly knows what he should be doing.
Hmm. I thought this was possibly the most interesting thing that Darryl Powell has said all year. In his statement afterwards, he said, "The team out there really cared about what the end result was."
Yeah,
I mean, that was having a dig, wasn't it? I mean, we've said it right from the start of this year. There was a whole heap of players that just didn't seem to care. I see Adrian Morley came out in the week. He came out and said, "You know, stop throwing your toys out of the pram and get on with it."
Yeah, I think, you know, the message has obviously gone out there with the players that have shifted out over the last few weeks. And I think, you know, that's very powerful to generate a different thinking within a group of people.
Hmm. And let's be fair, we had a bit of luck, didn't we?
Playing the reserves.
In that, yeah. Catalans were missing three or four. I mean, they were missing several, but...
28 players.
Three in particular of the front row, which gave us a start. It was in a different stadium, a different feel to the game and the atmosphere. It was decent weather. We've got some pace in our outside backs, and we started well by moving the ball left and made that break. So everything went for us, and whereas the week before against Salford, where we didn't capitalise on the good position, this week we did capitalise on the good position and more or less blew them away by half time.
Have we seen the end of Widdett? Is that it now?
Probably.
He's suffered from them shoulders, hasn't he, in the past?
Four times it's popped out, but apparently the good news was it popped out backwards rather than forwards like it has on the other three occasions. I mean, that's good news, I don't know. Will Sam Tompkins be pulled up for his fucking knees again? How many times does he go in with his knees?
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah,
what happened there?
He went in with his knees when Widdett went down on the ground. Straight again, there he is with his knees. Well, let's come back down to earth then. Just when we thought there was a glimmer of hope and you know, things were looking great. Round 17, last night, Castleford away on Sky. The team was Ratchford at fullback, who came in for Widdett, Thulis, Matautier, Wardle, Ashton, Williams, Dean came in for Ratchford at 7, Mulhern, Darryl Clark, Harrison, Curry Nicholson, and bizarrely Holmes came in for Jason Clark at 13, with Jason Clark being demoted to the bench alongside Bullock, McKaylee and Wrench. When Darryl Powers asked about Mike Cooper's absence, he said, "Mike is fine. I've just decided to go with the same guys." Final score, Castleford 35, Warrington 22. The Tigers started the game with 18 points in 18 minutes, and at one point early in the second half, they led by 27 points to nil before Wyre started their discombobulated comeback. There were Warrington consolation tries for Ashton Curry, Daryl Clark and Holmes, although according to Bill Arthur, one try was awarded to Daryl Powell.
Daryl Powell. Powell is going to go for it himself, and I think Powell has got that one down, or is he held up? The referee takes a look.
Before we look at the results, Sam, let's go back to Mike Cooper and his absence. Has Michael played his last game for Warrington? Is this a sign of a bit of a Josh Charlie going on here?
The tinterweb is awash with rumours, isn't it, that Mike Cooper will be moving to Wigan imminently. Now, whether that's true, we'll find out in the next couple of weeks, but it goes back possibly to what Dennis was saying earlier about moving people out to make way under the salary cap, or is it simply that if you're not going to be here, you might as well go now?
I think it's a combination of the two, Sam. I think, you know, steadily, one by one, Powell's rooting them out, moving them on. And, you know, I think Cooper might be. We've seen the... I mean, he's obviously not happy. He put that statement out when he announced he was leaving. Clearly, another one where there's an undercurrent of some kind of disagreement, don't like what's happening, working too many hours. And then, you know, I think it gets to the point, well, you might as well go because it's disruptive to the team. And if I was a coach, I'd be wanting to finish the season off, whatever happens results-wise, providing we still lose, you know, you can finish with a group of players that you've started to put the seeds of what you want to get out of them without these characters that are obviously holding things back for Daryl. And I think it's probably for the best for everyone. It's not good for Cooper either. You know, if he can get a move, then let him go.
I think the thing is, on the pitch this year, I don't think any of us have had an issue with Mike Cooper. He's been head and shoulders our best forward. But what we don't know, and we still don't know, we're only surmising, is if he is a bit of a dissenting voice in the changing room, or he's just having a grumble all the time, then perhaps he is, maybe not deliberately, but maybe he is influencing players.
Let's put it this way, let's go a bit further than surmising. Our best prop, it can't get in front of Mulhern in the squad. Hmm. I think we can read something into this.
Yes.
It did just start this year, did it, though? Of course, you know, he bumped into Price last year at that moment.
Yes, good point.
Yeah. Going back a bit, I think I put this poll out just after the Salford loss, but we asked about Daryl Powell. We got 393 votes. The question was, when is it fair to start judging Daryl Powell? We have four options. Now, end of this season, mid-next season, or end of 2023. The majority went for now. Majority are judging Daryl Powell
really?
Now with 43%. End of the season, 9%. Mid-next season, 35%. And end of 2023, 13%. I'm in the camp of mid-next season, Sam, I think. You know, I mean, we've started this process of clearing players out. This is clearly the narrative this year that we're just going to have to try and change the club around and get a positive attitude in the dressing room and then try and build on that. So I don't think we can judge him now, but you've sort of said just off air before you started to question him a little bit, but are you willing to wait, Sam, till next year?
Oh, 100%. No, 100%. When I say question a little bit, I don't mean is this, that or the other. I don't mean it in that way. Overall, I like what he seems to be doing. He seems to have said, Josh Charnley, not keen on you, you might as well go. Toby King, I'm not keen on you, you might as well go. Possibly Mike Cooper, I'm not keen on you, you might as well go. I like I like that strength from the coach. I like him saying, you guys, listen, it's not working. Pack your bags, go off elsewhere. I like that strength. Whether it turns out to be correct is another matter, but I like that strength he's showing. So I'm prepared to give him as long as it takes to prove it one way or the other.
Yeah.
The thing I questioned, and I questioned it very much in this game, if I'm allowed to say it now, because we're on the right time continuum.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go for it.
He's getting his phone ready.
It's not a phone. That's state-of-the-art software, Sam.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The state-of-the-art panel behind software.
If Ratchford... If he sees Ratchford as a future in the halves next year, well, why isn't he playing him in the halves at the minute and playing Thewlis at fullback? That's I'm not quite getting that. That's
Ooh,
the bit
I
I'm not getting.
Mm. I have to say, you're right, Sam. Out of everything, that is still the thing that who's partnering Williams next year.
Williams.
Because
well, Matt Dufty.
Well, there you go. That's fine then. So if it's a curveball, Ratchford might just be a curveball for now. He's a good guy to have as a squad player around like some of the youngsters like Riley Dean and stuff like that. And then, yeah, if we get Tufty in, that'd be good.
So I'm glad you've just mentioned him, Rob. Have you got any more intel on whether he is coming or not? And if Cooper does go, does that suddenly mean... Because he's not played for the Bulldogs now for 5, 6, 7 weeks... Could he come over here early if he is coming?
Don't know, mate. I mean, I've been on holiday. I've put on a staggering £9 in 3 weeks. So
it happens every time.
Your job between now and the next recording is to speak to your agent friends and see what you can find out.
All right, I'll see what I can find out.
He's not jet lagged. He's suffering from like a sugar inversion from having double treacle puddings every day for about 4 weeks.
I'm like Lena Zavaroni. Do you remember her? She went up and down, didn't she?
Anorexic, wasn't she? Poor girl.
So does Tufty live near you then, Rob? Can you check his bins?
No, he's out. He's out west with the plebs.
What does that mean? Where's west?
Out west is a bit like, you know, north of the river. You know, it has that similar similar feeling to it. Out west in Sydney is a bit like the Scooby-Doo backtrack. You know when Shaggy and Scooby are running along?
Oh, yeah.
And just the graphics guy just couldn't be arsed redrawing it all the time. So, you know, you get sort of the burger place and then you get the tyre place. And it's the same out west in Sydney. It just goes basically Subway, Hungry Jack's, McDonald's, big tyre outfitter, Subway, Hungry Jack's, McDonald's, big tyre. It's a fucking hole.
Okay, so you won't be going anywhere near Mr. Tufty then. Fair enough.
No, won't be going anywhere near Mr. Tufty. But I think, as you've both... just pointed out, Ratchford's surely just going to be a squad player, isn't he? He knows which side his bread's buttered. He's probably taken a little bit of a reduction in salary. Won't be used as much on the park next season. Will possibly be used in the halves when someone's injured. But he's surely not seen Ratchford as the future. He surely isn't seen Ratchford cementing his place at 7 or 6 for 2 years.
No, certainly not for 2 years. What Ratchford brings is experience and presumably good attitude, doesn't he? Across 6, fullback, potentially centre, potentially off the bench at 13.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Okay, well, been away a month, and of course, being in the UK, I have had 1 or 2 curries.
Hang on. Before that, I want to say about the attitude at Castleford.
Oh,
there's a caveat alert.
We started that game shit. Our first half hour at that game was atrocious. And it was as if they'd taken what they were doing the previous week and said, well, we might as well play like we're already 30 points up. And that, I was so disappointed after coming off the back of such a good win at Magic Weekend that we didn't seem to put any concerted, sensible effort into that first period. It was 15 minutes before we completed a set of six. 15 minutes. And during that 15 minutes, Riley Dean had a nightmare. He threw a crash ball coming out of our own 20. He tried to chip over on the first set. He gave a penalty away, then back-chatted and was marched back another 10 metres. It was as if he wasn't the reason we lost the game, but he encapsulated how we came out. And Daryl Clark, our coach, or is it Daryl Powell, our coach? Because I'm not sure which one of them plays and scores tries and which one of them is a coach. But he said after the game, how we started the game was dumb. The dumbest you're ever going to see. We put ourselves under way too much pressure. We were poor defensively and conceded some real soft tries. The boys are trying, but they're not using their brains in an effective way. So, he's right. He's 100% right in what he said. But, and this is the caveat, this is the bit I'm not 100% with.
Orange alert.
Caveat detected.
Orange alert. Orange alert.
He put the lads out on the pitch, so he should have had their minds right yesterday. That was such a missed opportunity. It was such a missed opportunity to put two wins in a row back to back, and we failed against a very average Castleford team.
Fucking hell, he's ranted a bit.
Yeah, he has a bit, hasn't he? I mean, I was jet-lagged, so I was all over the place. I was watching golf, I was watching athletics. I didn't know what day it was. And then and my bowels have been out of sync as well. So it's been a mess. it's been a real mess. Real mess. But I watched the second half, and we were quite good in the second half. Although I did think Liam Moore gave them the game at the start of the second half. I thought, there's any home refereeing. He marched Castleford downfield at the start of the second half and went, thank you very much. Here's 6 point, lads. And I thought, oh, here we go. Super League at its best.
I did miss the high shot.
Yes, well, that was... Oh, he did send him off. He did send him off, so that was good. I mean, Sky, talking about the commentators for a second, I mean, it's not like they're getting a player wrong who's on the field. Like, yeah. You know, Conor Wrench, not even playing, and then... He's moved our coach to hooker.
This is shit. This is shit. Sky is shit. I am not paying this fucking money for them again. It's ridiculous. I think we could probably do a better commentary. And I know I'm shit, but Jesus.
It is.
Some walkers have just walked past after that rant. I feel a bit guilty now.
Curry of the month is...
Today's curry dish is buttered chicken fingers.
It's a curry, mat maro.
Well, there you have it, buttered chicken fingers.
I see what you've done there. I see what you've done there.
Well, it wasn't me, actually. It was one of the lads on the What Bevan group who actually, I think it was maybe Dom who pointed it out. Buttered chicken fingers. So big tick for Dom and a few of the other lads on the What Bevan group. But I do have a little bit of a grudge to bear against them because I asked them on the What Bevan group which curry house to go to in Warrington. And we've clearly got a bias on that What Bevan group, Sam, of north of the river, because they went for a cheap curry house north of the river. And I thought, you know what, I'll go along with it. I'll go along with it. And I went along with it. And then, thankfully, I caught up with a few friends south of the river, the actual tennis team. And they said, oh, no, you must go to that one in Stockton Heath, which is just opposite Marks and Spencer's. I don't know, was it a Chinese at one point? Do you know the one I mean, Sam? You said you're coming from Grappenhall, you turn right at the light, you go left at just before the red line, and it's just on the left. Oh, Yeah. Absolutely.
It used to be a Chinese, you're right.
Sublime. Sublime. So, yeah.
Spice in Limbs meant to be very good as well.
Well, that's owned by the same lot that owned the one in Grappenhall opposite the Big Blue. And that only gets...
Oh, hang on a minute. Just a minute. Is this for some sponsorship? Can I get a free curry? Because I'll join in if you like.
Right, let's move on to the table. Now, we're recording this on Sunday morning in the UK, Sunday night here in Sydney. So there's a couple of teams who are still yet to play. Salford, Hull KR, Wakefield and Catalans are still to play. They've all still played 18, but everyone else has played 19. The table is as follows. At number one, Saints are out on top on 32 points, followed by the Pie Eaters in second on 28. Third is Huddersfield on 25. Fourth is Catalans on 24. Then there's a bit of a drop to fifth, Castleford on 20. In sixth, making up the top six, is Hull on 18, although they've only won one game in their last four. In seventh, it's Leeds on 15 points, Salford on 14, Warrington on 14, Hull KR on 14, and then Toulouse are off the bottom on goal difference. They move above Wakefield Trinity, who find themselves at the bottom of the table.
Wakefield Trinity are only being kept up by the fact that Warrington are so shite and they've done the double overs.
Well, we are, I mean, 4 weeks on, boys, we are actually, I don't know how we've managed to do this, but we're now closer to the top six, but also closer to the bottom. So that's quite good, isn't it?
Out of the four games, though, that we've played and covered today, have we not won two of them?
Yes, which is what I think I said beforehand when we said how many we're going to win, and I said two.
Although it doesn't
feel like...
To be fair,
I thought it'd be Salford and Hull, not...
It doesn't feel like it, you know, that change that we talked about, if we went back about six, seven weeks, I think we were thinking, where's the next win going to come from? What's Powell going to do? This, that and the other. And I think some of his work is actually paying off, because you've got two wins there, although not that memorable against Hull. But, you know, it's still two wins. And I think the tide has turned. So I think there's... an opportunity to at least get 50% here on in.
We're seeing glimpses during games, but we need to put it together for 80 minutes, don't we?
Sixth place is there for the taking. Hull are wank. Hull are absolutely wank. And Leeds are shit. Well, and Salford are crap. So we can easily move it. We're only, we win two games. Hull FC's points difference is already minus 79 and we're minus 75. So if we do catch them, our points difference will be even better. We'll cruise into sixth place.
Well, you're right about that, Rob. Apart from one thing, you've said Hull are crap, Leeds are crap, Salford are crap, Warrington are crap.
Yeah.
But you're right. Everyone, I'd even include Castleford. Yeah, Castleford down, the mediocre teams, very mediocre teams. Yeah.
And I watched Huddersfield and they're shit.
Really?
They're rubbish. Watched them the other night against, who did they play? Was it Saints?
Wigan. No, sorry, Saints. Saints had a man sent off after about 15 or 16 minutes.
And then they were down to 11 players towards the end. And Huddersfield still couldn't score. So they've got quite a promising centre at Huddersfield with big floppy hair and he's very flat footed. I've seen him somewhere.
Maybe we could whip him from under their noses.
Seen him somewhere before. Can't think where. Right, so the general consensus is Super League is shite apart from possibly two or three teams.
Yes.
Okay, excellent.
I would say mediocre.
Mediocre. All right, fair enough.
Statistics, caveats, bollocks. Listen up, you norms, it's time for Sam to talk shite. For 5 minutes. It's Sam Sankey's shitistics. No. Dick's data. No. Anal cyst. No. Twat stats. No. Statistics. Yes. That's it. It's time for Sam Sankey's statistics. Accreditation removed.
It's already been alluded to earlier in the podcast that I'm not going to the games very often. I've been to four matches this year. That's such a change for me from 20 years ago going home and away to virtually every match, including going to France on some occasions, to then going to every home match and about half of the away games, and gradually petering off. And then I decided not to renew this year, but on the occasions I've been, I was quite shocked to see how
the price
empty...
of a pint.
Yeah, the price of a pint, that's quite shocking, particularly when it's shite as well. But to see how empty the Halliwell Jones was at times.
Ooh.
So I decided to compare the attendances from the last full season before COVID, which was 2019.
Now, we should do, Sam, before you go on, we should clarify where you get these numbers from. Now, because if it's the match a day announcer, it's usually inflated by 5,000. So you're going to have to put some kind of statistical bias on this.
Well, the statistical bias is, if you are a season ticket holder and you do not turn up, because you've bought your ticket, you're still counted in the attendance.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
A phantom attendee.
Well, that's pretty normal. You have bought your ticket. So the fact that you've decided not to go that week because you're on holiday or you're having a meal at the Little Manor is...
Vegan pizza in Bramall.
A vegan pizza in Bramall.
Cheese and tomato.
But what was quite shocking is the sheer drop in attendances between 2019 and 2022.
Oh, dear.
I won't run through absolutely everyone because it doesn't work very well on if you can't see it, can you, when you're on a...
And Dennis is suffering from sunstroke by the looks of it. He's right in the sun there.
It's fucking hell. When are we going to end this podcast? I'm about to dehydrate here. I mean, better than them guys there cycling up. You're right.
Oh, Jesus.
You don't want to be on a rugby league podcast, do you? Do you want to be on a rugby league podcast? Oh, no, don't worry about it. Neither do we. We just talk about it, see how we get on. How's your ride going? Yeah? Why have you stopped? Fair enough. Sorry about that. Slight interruption.
That's okay. I'm just thinking, are people now going to write in and think you're somewhere in France and that was a tour going past?
No. Oh, crumbs.
Oh, he's dropped his...
Anyway,
oh,
okay. a couple of key...
Focus, Sam, focus.
A couple of key numbers. Our first game of the season at home was against Castleford, where 8,468 people turned up, compared to 9,231, the corresponding fixture in 2019. The two big games against Wigan, 10,104 turned up this year. The previous corresponding was 13,106. And against St Helens, 10,476. The corresponding previous game, 14,211.
Oh, dear.
Against Leeds, 9,984. The corresponding game was 13,098. Overall, the 10 games at the Harold Jones this year have got an attendance average of 9,023. In 2019, the same opponents were 11,072. That's an 18.5% drop. 18.5%. And it's not just gate receipts, it's the extra beer, pies, crisp, pop, etc. that's not being bought as well. That's a huge hole in the club finances. And I wonder why we're not seeing the people go to the match. Are we not seeing because we're playing shit? Or are we not going to the match? Because at the start of the year, we'd won a few games. It was a new start under Powell. We were going to play more exciting rugby. Have we just lost those people during COVID and they're never going to come back?
I think it's just it's a combination of it all, Sam, isn't it? I mean, first of all, great figures. We have to give him a little pat on the back there, Dennis. He's come out with some stats, which is the first time
in about
3.5 years.
Yeah.
But I just read an article online. I mean, we were in London last week or the week before, and you know, we toured around, and Oxford Street and Regent Street, you know, it was very busy. You know, we enjoyed it, but every third shop is a candy shop now. Everything's, you know, been boarded up. Top shop's gone, and apparently they're the Oxford Regent Street footprint is still down 20% since before the pandemic. So I think this is across the board, isn't it? You know,
if people just got used to staying at home and doing other things.
Well, when it comes to shopping retail, it's, you know, it's a case of people shopping online. But, you know, they've lost Topshop. We've had a COVID. We're not playing well. We've had COVID. I think we're just towing the party line here, aren't we? That's what needs to be. I mean,
we're a long way from when we spoke to Cal Fitzpatrick about this match day experience and everything, aren't we? You know, ever since that point in time, it's been on the decline then.
You've got to have a balance between that, haven't you? You can't have this continued match day experience if the team's performing poorly. Because people get alienated against it. People start going, well, we don't want, you know, three people running up and down with buckets on their head. We want a decent team. I think it works very well, the entertainment, when you've got a positive team that's winning matches. But there's a contrast when it's not working. You just start alienating your 15 or 20% fans that only turn up because Warrington are winning. I mean, we're all a bit over it, aren't we? I mean, the whole thing needs refreshing. We talk about Sky. Sky needs refreshing. The competition needs revamping. We've talked about these loop fixtures. It's just not working.
Well, the Rugby League has obviously got some investment coming in, hasn't it?
Yeah.
With this private equity firm.
Yeah.
I just hope they don't try and reinvent things completely. We've got some core, very good items. I mean, we all, even though I've not been going, I still look at the Rugby League. It's still the sport that I want to watch. But
is that because lacrosse isn't taken off on telly, Sam?
It is, yeah. Yeah. But I think Rob just said it there. I do feel a bit disconnected from Rugby League at the moment. And it's a disconnect from not just Warrington, but Super League itself. I find myself checking the NRL website and highlights more often than a Czech Super League. So it's not my interest in Rugby League that's necessarily waned. It's my interest in the current British competition.
Mm. Yeah, you know what? I know what you mean by that. And it's funny, I draw a parallel to how much I hate Sky and what they've done to it. To be interested in something, you know, you see something on TV and you might go along and watch. If I watched that on Sky, it's shit. I mean, compared to Channel 4's presentation, and I don't know what it is, I can't put my finger on it. I'm sure there's some well-paid people who can, but their presentation, it just seemed like a much better atmosphere, and it was there's a couple of good games on there. That's what makes it feel. So I really do lay it at that Sky have let it go stale. It doesn't, you know, it's the same thing, same presentation. I was even thinking to myself with the music that they play every year, how fucking hard is it that a broadcasting company can't come up with another jingle? It's been regurgitated for the past fucking 4 years or 5 years. I fucking hate it.
I think the best analogy for this is actually looking at Toby King's hair. He's let it slide. We've let the competition slide.
Results of a government lifestyle census to discover what is the most boring thing in the UK have been published. The usual mundane pastimes scored highly, such as slow internet speed, waiting in line, or politicians talking. But there were also two new entries in the top 10, with people who Instagram their food coming in at number 2, and at number 1, watching Warrington versus Hull. the loan contract between Huddersfield and Wire looks set to be extended to other swap deals, with the rumour Professor Steve Broomhead has been offered to the West Yorkshire club in return for an administrator. Negotiations have since broken down, following Giants canteen staff, on hearing the news, walking out on strike. And finally, earlier this week, the town of Lee applied for city status. The mayor of Lee had said it was a fallacy, that the town was backward, slow or prehistoric, and went on to say it was an utter lie to suggest the town was bigoted or its residents were convinced they were always cast as the victims. However, the council has since withdrawn its application on the news of the Centurions signing Josh Charnley.
Well, there's the news headlines. On to the stories. Contract talks between Robbie Mulhern and Warrington have ended, with both sides failing to come to an agreement. Is it expected that Mulhern will now leave the HJ? You've just had a bit of a go at Mulhern.
Going back to Hawaii.
I actually think he's been playing pretty well. He puts in a lot of effort. I mean, we've just been talking about effort. You can't fault Mulhern's effort. I'd quite like to see him stay, if we could, you know, come to some amicable arrangement on his contract.
Well, I agree with you on effort, and again, some perception of effort. But who have we got already next year? We've got Cassiano, Gil Dudson, Harrison, Vaughan.
Got the list here. If Mike Cooper's signing for Wigan and no sign of Jack Hughes re-signing for the Primrose and Blue, it potentially leaves the Wolves in 2023. With a forward quota of Paul Vaughan, Joe Bullock, Thomas McKayley, Joe Philbin, Gil Dudson, Sam Cassiano, James Harrison, Ben Curry, Olivier Holmes, Ellis Longstaff, Matty Nicholson, and if he signs, Australian utility forward Josh Maguire. You're probably right, actually, come to think of it.
There's no room for Mulhern, is there?
Gee. A lot of props, isn't it? A lot of forwards.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Too many forwards now. But we'll start the 2023 season off by saying we're too big.
We're not mobile enough.
Jason Clark, too, will leave the Wire at the end of the season, but will stay in the Northern Hemisphere. Clark will move to France, taking up a contract with French championship side Le Mans. Since signing in 2019, Clark has played over 75 games for Wire.
Good lad, a bit underwhelming. Shake hands, wish him luck.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think he reminds me of, and I think just offers a little bit more, and I wish we'd got, is the other lad from South who's running round at Huddersfield at the moment. Is it McQueen, the one that's playing 12 for Huddersfield?
Yeah, McQueen.
I thought his effort, his contribution every week is pretty much up there. And I noticed when Saints beat them the other day, towards the end, I think, Lomax broke away or Wellesby broke away and they scored, and he was still trying. McQueen was still trying to get there and, you know, put in the effort. And I just thought, would Jack Hughes have given up there? Would he just be strolling back?
That McQueen's good. I agree with that.
Daryl Powell said Jack Hughes' reappearance in the first team looks to be still a few weeks away after he dislocated his shoulder back in on Easter Monday playing for the reserves. Powell also went on to say Wire's captain is still also struggling from an operation on his wrist during the off-season. Don't think he's going to re-sign, Dennis. I think we've probably seen the last days of Jack Hughes, haven't we?
I think I'm with Sam on that. It's like, off you go. It sounds like he has got some, you know, potential injury issues that might affect his career, so I hope not. But I mean, you know, there's plenty of other players that are looking like lined up in the new Powell 2023, which we'll come up with a jingle with. You know, unlike Sky Sports, they'll still be running with fucking Barry and Terry and going da 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 da.
It has been pointed out to me again this week that it is now 2 years on the trot that Warrington's logo is not included in the opening credits.
Yeah. Who
gets
the opening
wound credits
up by
haven't
that?
Changed.
Conor Wrench has signed on for another 3 years with his hometown club. It will see the 20-year-old stay at Warrington until at least 2025. Wrench started playing rugby at Wolston Rovers before progressing through Wire's scholarship and academy ranks. To paraphrase Wrench, she said, "It's massive for me being a Warrington lad, and it's been class having Daryl Powell's support. As a player, you want that belief from your coach. And last but not least, Riley Dean has signed for Wyatt for another 2 years. Wrench, what's happened to Wrench? He seemed to, you know, he's just fallen out of favour in the last couple of weeks, Sam. And he didn't play well against Castleford. I thought possibly it was a bit of a shock when he was dropped for the Magic Weekend game, but
well, he was a bit over the place.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Just recording a podcast at the moment, so I just found a nice place to do it. Yeah. You enjoy your walk.
Ask the names, Dennis. Ask the names. Where they're walking.
What's your name? Bob? Miriam. Bob and Miriam. I'm doing a rugby league podcast. Have you ever heard of rugby league?
Ask them if they're swingers. Ask them if they're swingers.
No? Oh, it's a game in the UK. You should try and get to it, although it's not played in this region.
Stop looking at Miriam's skirt, Dennis.
Oh, it's like American football, but without helmets.
I tell you what, Sam, they're off to fuck. They're off to fucking those bushes for sure.
Yeah, rugby league. Look out for it. All right. See ya. Hey.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all. Everybody knows your name. You wanna go where people know people are all the same. You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Just repeat your order back to you, love. That's 3 Benny Westwood sausage baguettes, 2 Benny Westwood egg and sausage baguettes, 1 Peter Matautier fillet of crab, an extra flat Ben Curry cola, plus a pointless NFT Primrose and Blue kids meal for your morbidly obese ugly child. Would you like a Josh Charlie humble pie with that, you fat fuck? Make your way to the next window, please.
Oh, Daryl, I extended the pub/bistro/dating service/Greek night/casino to a drive-through. Are you sure it's a good idea? I mean, the players struggle to take orders at the best of times. Why, on 3 occasions when customers have tried to order thick shakes, Danny Walker's come out and gone and sat in the back of the car.
Nonsense, Ralphie. What the fans of this town really want is a quick, clean, fluid service.
Oh, well, that's all very well, Daryl, but did the driving lanes really need to be constructed via the 4 runaround loops, 5 crossovers and several dummy cones just to order a breakfast sausage baguettes?
Oh, it's all about entertainment now, Ralphie. We're no longer on the overpriced road to hell.
Why on earth is there such an awful queue this morning?
Oh, that'll be Professor Broomhead in his council larder, ordering the entire menu.
Oh, he's clocked up more miles commuting through the drive-thru than the whole of our front row.
And with him being our number one customer, Ralphie, just like that, we've created a VIP pit lane for him. You know, just in case it rains and his wheels need changing to a rubbery, slow, tiresome, laborious tread.
Well, that's no way to talk about Robbie Mulhern. Oh, and who's that protesting? He's holding up everyone with his billboard. Oh, don't tell me it's that old chap, the one who would stand outside Fletcher Street with his Jesus, I love you sign.
No, Ralphie. It's Chef Westwood. He's insulted, says there's more to his cooking than this fast food. I haven't seen him this angry since he turned a Leeds fullback, Brent Webb, into mashed potato.
Oh, never mind. Now, are you making sure, Darryl, we're trying to upsell to the punters? Are we supersizing the drinks, a bit like our props?
Oh, just look at my hands with that lettuce. It's more floppy than Toby King's hair. I can't wait till I go and work in the pie shop.
Ah, there you are, Cooper de Cooper. Change the fizzy primrose blue drink over.
Oh, will that be flat lemonade, Mr. Powell?
Less of the back chat, Cooper de Cooper. Besides, we're actually contractually obliged to sell 7-Up.
Only 6 go up to the playoffs.
Oh, dear, he has got a point, Darryl. Is there any chance of rebranding it to 11-Up? Oh, you've clearly underestimated the town's expectations, Darryl. That explains why we've been overstocked with a lot of chicken nuggets.
Oh, sorry, Ralphie. We didn't have enough batter for the spicy Tommy thigh range, so I thought those little tiny-breasted bite-sized chunks would be a real winner.
Now, Darryl, that's enough about our forward pack. Oh, look, Darryl, there's still time to turn this disastrous situation around. You really don't want to be known as the coach that came in and was found out to be a bit of... Oh, I really should get that fixed. Oh, well, show me you must leave the field green card. What on earth are you doing, Darryl?
Home deliveries, Ralphie. I'll drive and young Sherrow here in my sidecar will bring your food directly to your door. Ha, just like that. Isn't that right, Ryan?
Oh, flubba-dubba-dubba-dub-dub.
Oh, tackle sacks. I'm pretty sure Ronald McDonald didn't have this level of defiance from his staff, Darryl. Why, I hear you can even find the daft clown in Cronulla now. Quick, Darryl, put the barrier down and the clothes sign up. You know, before we go out again, on a bit of a wimpy.
Well, I wondered this week whether mutiny might actually make a comeback, given the amount of rats that have been leaving our sinking ship. But obviously it was Beers retaining its regular spot. Where is the drive-through? Where is the drive-through? Because it's a Sunday morning, I had a couple of beers last night, and I really fancy an egg and sausage Westwood baguette. Fancy that. With a little bit of ketchup on. Baguettes. I'd really fancy that. Memory lane again at Wilderspool with the God Saves and You're All Going to Hell guy with his big...
He used to do City on Saturday.
Did he do City
he
as well?
He always did Manchester City on Saturday, Warrington on Sunday. He'd be fucked now, wouldn't he, with the way the fixtures are?
he wouldn't know which way he was coming or going, would he? For our younger listeners, if we've actually got any,
we haven't.
This
Sam.
Is an old guy who used to go around preaching religion. And Cooper coming up with his biggest ever part, his most number of words ever spoken in an episode, I think. There, I think you can have that statistic.
We're going to have to write him out. What a fucking shame, eh? What a shame. That bloody catchphrase is a classic, but we'll think of something else.
Yeah. Oh, but dear. Really, the overwhelming image I'm left with from this week is Powell and Sheridan in a motorbiking sidecar like Wallace and Gromit driving off into the sunset.
I should point out at this point, lads, I think we've had a defection. I think Daniel's defected to another podcast.
Has he?
What's happened?
I don't know. I think he's on Six Again or something. Some young, because, you know, Sam was on about the youth.
Yeah.
I think he's on some young podcast now. So not heard from Daniel the last few weeks. Might need someone
maybe
else.
Maybe he didn't like when Dennis used to listen to what he said, and Dennis said, well, that shit is wrong. You're not very supported, Dennis.
Oh, don't be. You know what? You need a bit of critique, you know, and that's why he's now gone on to better things.
Look, you say that, Dennis, but yesterday, heavily jet lagged, I refereed an under-8s football game. I got a little bit cross just after half time, and on the 60-minute mark, I thought I was calling a spade a spade. I was asked to leave the field and was replaced.
Oh, dear.
Predictions.
We can predict the future or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Two games to predict before the podcast again returns. First up, it's interim coach Danny Maguire's Hawke Art at the Halliwell Jones this Friday night. And then the following Saturday, wire travel to Toby King's Huddersfield. Neither game, you'll be pleased to hear, is being televised, which is excellent. Let's have a quick listen to the What Bevan panel. I've only actually got one of their predictions because I forgot to get the second one.
Hello, my name is Hal, the What Bevan computer. I was really hoping I wouldn't be required again, but thanks to all you daft patrons for throwing money at this shit, I have to continue with this bollocks. Here is the prediction for round 20. Warrington 26, Hull KR 17.
Well, there you have it. They're going for a Warrington win. Is this the chance to get two wins back-to-back, Sam? Finally, break our duck and get on a bit of a roll. Powell's talked about momentum.
No.
Jesus.
I think we're favourites against Hull KR, and I think we're unlikely against Huddersfield. Although what I am looking forward to is watching the centres go against each other and to see whether there's any niggle.
Mm. Will they be up against each other? Will they be?
No, they won't.
They won't.
No, they won't.
So that's pointless then.
I would like to. I would like to break into the What Bevan bank account, and I think we should send Sam to at least one game while we're not televised. He needs to do it.
Use some of the patron money.
I'll go to Hull KR. I'll self fund. I will self fund, and I'll go to the Hull KR game.
Well done. Can you give us a report? As well.
Yes. You mean drunken slurs?
Yes. So I'd like to know what's going up until about 15 minutes in.
Have you been to a game this year, Dennis? Have you actually been to a game?
No, I haven't. but I was intending on going, but they keep swapping the fixtures around, don't they?
Yeah, well, that doesn't help, does it? That's
on a weekend.
Constantly a pain in the arse when they keep doing that. So.
But I'm going up to walk Scarfell Pike. And I'm in August, so I'm hoping to sort of work out when the games are.
Right.
So for the listeners who want to win the carriage clock when it rolls over, the next time Dennis is out and about, he's likely to be within 10 miles of Scarfell Pike.
Was that Bob and Miriam that you were talking to?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they looked like they were off into the bushes, didn't they?
Yeah,
I know.
It's a bit like that round here, isn't it? I think they were Dutch or something. Because, yeah, they didn't have a clue what rugby league was.
I think, Rob, you were going to thank some people on
Yes,
Patreon.
I was. Yes, yeah, we've had lots of patrons come in. So thank you for all the patrons that have kept the podcast going. We're still in the red, but I think we'll be in the black come the start of next year, lads. And, of course, with this being our 100th podcast, I mean, who thought we'd get to 100 podcasts? I mean, when we started this, I mean, can you believe
it? I'm still of the mind that you said, could you come on a podcast and do 5 minutes for
me? Plural.
And I said yes, and then a 14-page script from running order came through.
Yeah, but this is how he grooms people, Sam. You should know this. This is part of his strategy.
So. I'd like to.
OKR will get beaten by Warrington. I think
really?
We're going to. I think we're going to do one on him. I don't think Danny Maguire's got a clue what's going on. I think a bit of turmoil. Why did Tony Smith leave anyway? What happened there?
No, he just got sick of it. No, I think he just wanted certain things, and they wouldn't give it to him, would they? Wasn't he going anyway at the end of the year?
He was going anyway at the end of the season. So that's just like what's been happening with our players, isn't it?
It's great to see his nephew, who thought he was like the new, you know, sort of Pep Guardiola of the rugby league, after his one win early on. It's gone a bit tits up for him, hasn't it? Because Leeds are shit.
Mm. It's turned out he's not the Messiah. He's a very naughty Smith.
And they've signed your favourite centre, Sam, till the end of the year. Oliver Gilshite's coming back.
He is, isn't he? Oh,
before playing for the Dolphin reserves next year.
Mm. So what's your prediction, Mr. London?
I'm going to go for, even though I'm heavily jet-lagged and I'm £9 heavier than I was, and I quite fancy Miriam, who went into the bushes, I'm going for two wins. I'm going for two wins. One win to Hull KR and one win for Huddersfield. Okay, that's it. So until we meet up again, I'd like to thank my two podcasting co-hosts who have stuck with this shite for 100 episodes. It's a massive thank you to my beautiful old mate Sam.
All the best.
And a big unbelievable cuddle to the wonderful Dennis.
Seeing you.
I'm Rob London with 100 pods on the scorecard, asking for the podcasting umpire for a guard of Midland leg. As thanks to all you lovely patrons, we chase our next goal of 200 recordings. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
I'm going chasing Miriam up this hill.
See if you can keep your film on.
You dirty bugger. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right.